Peter means there's a sense of urgency and constancy associated with love. It means that we're to be earnest and even strenuous in our expressions of love.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
The moment a man places his faith in the Son of God, the moment a man places his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and receives him as personal Lord and Savior, his dead human spirit, we're taught in the Scriptures, we're natively dead, we're DOA, we're dead on arrival. We have a congenital spiritual disease. The human spirit is infected with the congenital spiritual disease we call sin. It makes us dead on arrival, out of touch with God, spiritually inoperative and non-functional, out of touch with God. But the moment a man places his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his dead human spirit is impregnated with the life of God's Holy Spirit. And the Bible says he's reborn spiritually, becomes a new creature in Christ. And the great result of that is that a man is given an entirely new nature. He's given certainly a new standing, a new position before God, but he's also given a new nature. Nature is always tied to birth. And when we're reborn spiritually, we're given a new nature. Our fallen nature was supplied by our first birth. We have a fallen nature natively. And that was supplied by our first birth. And a new nature can only be supplied by a new birth. I think that was Paul's meaning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 when he said, if any man be in Christ, that is, if any man be vitally joined to Jesus Christ through faith, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He is a new creature. Literally, he is a new creation. And he meant that faith in Jesus Christ provides us with a life that is so radically new and powerful that it can only be referred to as a rebirth. When we became Christians, we were in the truest sense reborn in the Spirit. We became new creatures in Christ. We had a whole new standing before God, and we were provided with a new nature, which enables us to live out our lives for God's glory. It seems to me that Peter shares with us in this passage two powerful insights regarding new birth. Can you see them with me? The first is in verse 22, where we have its bounty, the bounty of new birth. And he gives to us here two great blessings. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, he says, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And it seems to me there are two great blessings which are provided by new birth. One, he says, is purity. We're made pure. You purified your soul in obeying the truth. And that's another way of expressing new birth, having been born again, the next verse. We were purified unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And on that basis, he says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Purity and charity. Those are two great ingredients that come down into our souls, into our lives, because of new birth. And it's a tremendous thing to have a pure standing before God and to have an enlarged capacity, an invigorated capacity to love in the way that God intended. First of all, do you notice this idea of purity? It's in the first part of verse 22. That's the first facet of bounty or of blessing which comes into our lives because we're born again, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. I want to say four quick things about that. Number one, the substance of this purity. And it's to be found in the word purified. That's the substance of this purity. You notice the sphere? Purified your souls. And so when we respond in simple faith to the message of the gospel, he does a work deep down in the interior of every one of us. He does a work in our soul. He always works from the inside out. He doesn't deal with the shell or the shadow of a man, but he deals with the substance of a man. What we are essentially on the inside, where we really exist, down there he does a work when we respond. Do you notice the source? How did it come to pass? He says it comes from obeying the truth, in obeying the truth. And that phrase, obeying the truth, is Peter's way of describing the response of those people to the gospel message which had been preached to them. Do you notice the stimulus to this new birth? He says it comes through the Spirit. This act of obedience, this purity, it comes through the Spirit. Peter says, purity, that's a part of the bounty of being born again. You've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. But now there's a second ingredient, a second blessing that becomes ours. Not only purity, but also charity. Do you notice he says, we have purified our souls unto unfeigned love of the brethren. In other words, new birth gives to us a capacity to love as we ought to love, as we were intended to love, as we were made to love, with a pure heart fervently. What do you see in the latter part of verse 22? I see three things. Would you look at them with me very quickly? The first thing I see is the command. The command is love one another. It's in the imperative mode. It's a command. We are to selflessly and sacrificially invest ourselves in one another's well-being. I wonder how many of us are doing that. You know, we don't want these things just to kind of go in one ear and out the other, or get a neat little outline of a passage of Scripture. I wonder how many of us are selflessly, sacrificially investing ourselves in the well-being of one another and of others for the glory of God and for the good of those others. Peter says that's precisely what we are to do. What is our badge? You know, the badge, the supreme badge of the Christian society is a holy love. What is our badge? What if we were to concentrate into one little expression or one little word a characterization of what we are? What if we could reduce the impact of our lives up to this point to one word or one expression? What would it be? Peter says, one of the things that ought to be is this, love one another, in the biblical sense of that term. That's the command. It's in the imperative mode. But I want you to see a characterization of this love, and then we'll go on to our next point. A characterization. Peter says this love is to have three characteristics, and he puts them right here for us. He says, number one, he says, this love is to be pure, unfeigned, means unhypocritical. Number two, it's to be passionate, fervent, passionate in the right sense of the term, active, dynamic, energetic, fervent. And thirdly, it is to be protective. It's a protective love. That's also the meaning of the word fervent, ektenos. I'll explain it to you in just a moment. Number one, he says, it's to be a pure love, unhypocritical. It's to be an unfeigned love. We're not to be hypocrites in the expression of our love. You know the word hypocrite, it comes right out of the Greek language. Hypokrates is the Greek word, and hypocrisy is the English word. In the ancient world, the word Hypokrates came to describe one whose whole life was a piece of acting. It was used of an actor on the stage. And it came to describe one whose whole life was a piece of acting without any sincerity in it at all. And Peter says, you know, there's far too much Hypokrates in Christian circles. Our whole life becomes a piece of acting. We know how to put on a thin veneer of Christianity, but it hides behind it deep-rooted venom or hypocrisy on too many occasions. We know what to say on the appropriate occasions. We've learned the Christian lingo, so to speak. We can spew it out and make everything appear good and sound good upon the surface. Peter says Christian love is unhypocritical. It's pure. It's sincere. It's unadulterated. It isn't like that, Peter says. David could say back in the Old Testament, there's a man, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. It was a thin veneer of religiosity hiding a deep-seated venom and bitterness and hypocrisy. The kind of man who's up front one thing and behind your back another. Peter says, no. That's feigned. That's fake. It's unreal. Christian love is pure. It's unfeigned. And then he says it's passionate. You notice that word fervent love there? Love one another with a pure heart fervently. Ektenos is the adverb in the Greek New Testament. Ektenos. It's a very powerful word. It's an athletic word, fervently. It's a term meaning to strive with all of one's energy, as does an athlete. It was used of an Olympic athlete. It was used of a horse at full gallop, running fervently, vehemently, strenuously. It denotes the taut muscle of strenuous and sustained effort. Peter means there's a sense of urgency and constancy associated with love. It means that we're to be earnest and even strenuous in our expressions of love. Peter says, Christian love demands everything a man has of mental and spiritual energy. Demands everything he has of mental and spiritual energy. It is the love which never fails and into which every atom of a man's strength is directed. Peter means to tell us this, you cannot love and be apathetic simultaneously. You cannot love and be apathetic simultaneously. If you really love in the biblical sense of the term, if you have a holy, uncompromising, biblical love, you will be energetically, passionately involved in meeting the needs of other people. Love one another with a pure heart, or out of a pure heart, literally, fervently. But I want to give you one other mark of that love. It's not only pure and passionate, it's also protective. This word, ektenos, I said it a moment ago, has another connotation. It's an interesting word. Literally, it means stretched out. That's why it's used of a horse in gallop. He's stretched out. That's why it's used of an athlete running a race. He's stretched out. Tenos means stretched, and ek means out. Ektenos, stretched out. And it has a protective connotation. The idea is this. The idea is that Christian love stretches itself out to envelop and embrace as many people as possible. And it means one other thing. It means it extends itself as a canopy of protection over those who have failed or fallen. Did you know that? That's one of the great functions of Christian love. It extends itself as a canopy of protection over those who have failed or fallen. And Peter said that in this book. If you flip the page to chapter 4 and verse 8, he used the same expression. He said, and above all things, have fervent charity. Same Greek words, fervent and charity, love. Have stretched out love. And then he tells us why. Have fervent charity among yourselves. Why? For charity, or love, agape, shall cover the multitude of sins. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. It's a very protective thing, love. Perhaps there are too many Christians in our day and age who rejoice in another man's sins. You know what the Bible says? Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. There may be too many Christians who revel in exposing precise details of another man's sins. Peter says that stretched out love seeks to shield and protect, never expose and destroy. Why would a man want to do that anyway? Solomon told us way back in Proverbs chapter 10 in verse 12, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. It's the bitter man that exploits. It's the loving man that protects. It's a mark of love.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.